I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Stay praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lead me up and let me stand, my feet on heaven's stable land. Higher place than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to see where dust arise and fears dismay. The sun may dwell where days are bound. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lead me up and let me stand, by faith on heaven's table land. Higher place than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to stay above the wall, those Satan's darts at me are hot. For faith has caught that joyful sound, the song of sings on higher ground. Lord, lead me up and let me stand, by faith on heaven's table land. Higher place than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a glimpse of glory bright. There's still I pray till heaven afar. Lord, lead me unto higher ground. Lord, lead me up and let me stand, by faith on heaven's table land. Higher place than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Shall we rise up to pray? Everlasting Father, we thank you because you are here in our midst tonight. We glorify you because what we told you in our songs you have heard. Already you are granting our request. Be glorified forever in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Everlasting Father, we honor you because of the things you teach us day by day from your word. We thank you because of that word given to us to show us the path of life and righteousness. Glory and honor be ascribed to thy name forever in the name of Jesus Christ. And tonight, Lord, we are praying that once again you will come and open us the Bible. You will come and open our hearts as well. You will come and minister your word unto us yourself. You come and speak to us, especially in our innermost being, that we'll be able to hear your voice clean and clear tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we just pray that you make your word very clear to us and make us understand. Make it understandable unto us. Give us the grace to understand to the extent of being able to take the right decision and to do your will. May it be so in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything you want every one of us to understand from the teachings of tonight, make us understand really. We thank you because you have heard that. Disallow the devil to do anything successfully under this program in Jesus' name. But let your spirit lead us into the world. Thank you for answering the prayers, which is said in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say, Amen. Shall we be seated?
Welcome to Bible Pattern Church, where we pattern our lives according to the Word of God. This is a church where the Word of God is being preached without adulteration, where the power of the Word is being demonstrated, enjoyed, and the true miracles of God is being experienced every time. The message you're about to listen to is preached by Pastor Z.A. Ogunsanya, the General Overseer of Bible Pattern Church. He is a very anointed but humble man of God, dynamic pastor, teacher, evangelist, and songwriter who practice what he preaches. Our church headquarters is located at end of Adewale Adegun Avenue, Karole Estate, by Estate Bus Stop off College Road, Ifako Ijaya, Lagos State. You will definitely have a touch of God as you listen to this message. Remain blessed.
3 weeks ago, we completed the series of studies on the major incidents of the Bible. The major incidents of the Bible took 20 weeks altogether to complete. But we studied only 18 topics. For the first week was an introduction, and the last week was a summary in the form of question and answers. We were able to look at the major incidents of the Bible, starting with the creation and ending with the major future events. The last 2 weeks we studied two topics, the last one of which was pride. By the grace of God, tonight we are starting another series of studies. And this time we want to study about and also from the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. And tonight we are having just the introduction. If Jesus tarries, as from next week, we will start to take topics from the book one by one to study. I mean, we are going to look at the books, the chapters of the books, and study the lessons they have for us. The book of Ephesians is one of the richest books of the Bible. In it, the Holy Spirit unfolds many of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. According to the Matthew Henry commentary, some think that this epistle to the Ephesians was a circular letter sent to several churches. It is the only one of all Paul's epistles that has nothing in it particularly adapted to the case of that particular church. But it has much of common concernment to all Christians. It is an epistle that bears date out of a prison. And some have observed that what this apostle wrote when he was in a prison had the greatest release and savor in it of the things of God. When his tribulations did abound, his consolation did much more abound. The apostles designed to settle and establish the Ephesians in the truth and further to acquaint them with the mysteries of the gospel. In the former part, he represents the great privilege of the Ephesians, who are now converted to Christianity and received into covenant with God. In the latter part, he instructs them in the principal duties of religion. Hunger's Bible Dictionary has this to say about the book of Ephesians. It says, perhaps it is the sublimest of all the Pauline epistles. No part of New Testament revelation sets forth more clearly or more profoundly the believer's position in Christ. and the results which she obtained in his practical experience. In contrast to Colossians and Galatians, it is remarkably free of controversial elements. As we study from the book this time, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give us the spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, so that we may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us world who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, in the name of Jesus. As a way of introduction, in the study of today, we want to look at, among other things, the statistics of Ephesians. The author of Ephesians, the recipients of Ephesians, the date of Ephesians, the purpose of Ephesians, the theme of Ephesians, the key verses of Ephesians, and also the outline of the book of Ephesians. And also we shall look at some selected lessons from the book of Ephesians. Now, the statistics of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is the 49th book of the Bible. You know, in all, we have 66 books in the Holy Bible. Of Old Testament, 39, and New Testament, 27. Now, of the 66 books of the Bible, if you start to count from Genesis, you say Genesis 1, Exodus 2, Leviticus 3, Numbers 4, Deuteronomy 5, Joshua 6, Judges 7, and you continue to count. The book of Ephesians is the 49th book. It has 6 chapters, 155 verses, 3,039 words. It has only one question and 146 verses of history, 1 verse of fulfilled and 8 verses of unfulfilled prophecies. Now, the author of Ephesians. You go to the book of Ephesians and you read chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. The book, according to those passages of the scriptures read, was written by Paul the apostle. And if you go to the last chapter, the last verse, after the last verse, what you read is written from Rome unto the Ephesians by Tychicus. From here you understand that the book was written by Paul and sent by Tychicus along with the Colossians and also Philemon. It is the most impersonal of Paul's epistles. Ungar's Bible Dictionary says, Ephesians has a strong claim to Pauline authority. We are now looking at the author of the book. Both externally and internally, Clement of Rome, Ignatius, Polycarp, Amas, Clement of Alexandria, Tertullian, Irenaeus, and Hippolytus give evidence of early and continued use of the epistle. Some of those names are names of the early church fathers. And through their writings, they prove that in their days, the book of Ephesians was being used by the believers. Internal evidence, likewise, is decisive. The writer twice mentioned his name. According to what we have in the passages read, chapter 1, verse 1, and chapter 3, verse 1. The organization of material is Pauline, beginning with doctrine. That is chapter 1, verse 3, talking about the blessings we have, the spiritual blessings with which God has blessed us in heavenlies through Christ Jesus. and ending with experience based upon the doctrine. Lewis says, out of 155 verses in Ephesians, 78 are found in Colossians, in varying degrees of identity. This is what that means. In the book of Ephesians, we have just 155 verses, only 6 chapters. And before I continue, let me say this quickly. By the grace of God, from next week, we'll start to study the book itself, studying from the book rather. And I will like us to endeavor to go through the book at least once at a sitting. You understand me? You see it, and you open to chapter 1. Then when you get to the verse 24 of chapter 6, you get up. That is to say, you are not going to the toilet before you finish reading through. You start it, and you will not stop until you get to the end. Between now and next Monday, will you do that? Huh? It's not much. In my Bible, it's only 2.5 leaves. So it's so easy. Only 155 verses. Only 6 chapters. Try to go through. It's going to help you a lot. And in case you are able to read it through several times, before next Monday, it will be so good. Praise the Lord. Now, Lewis says, out of 155 verses we have in Ephesians, 78 are found in Colossians in varying degrees of identity. That is a sort of repetition which further proves the authorship of Paul, because he is the author of the book of Colossians. Some of the things he wrote in Ephesians, he also wrote to the Colossians. We are looking at the author of the book. That is found in the book written by Lewis, titled The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, page 956. Now, 1 Peter, Hebrews, and the Apocalypse, that is, Revelation, apparently show acquaintance with Ephesians, indicating that Ephesians is earlier than 1 Peter, Hebrews, and the Apocalypse. Ephesians was written from Rome in AD 64. Tychicus was the bearer, together with the epistles of Colossians and Philemon. Since Ephesians is the most impersonal of Paul's letters, and the words to the Ephesians are not in the best manuscript, it seems that the letter was intended to be circularized, being sent to several churches, and may be referred to in Colossians 4:16 as the epistle to the Laodiceans. The letter will then be addressed to the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus anywhere. The theme of the epistle confirms this view. Now we go to the date of Ephesians. When was it written? G. Coleman Launch, the author of a very important book titled The Bible Book by Book, says it was written about AD 62. This Bible says AD 64. Ancient Reference Bible says between AD 60 and 64. And Harley's Bible Handbook says it was written along with other preaching epistles, that is Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, between AD 61 and 63. It further says that three of the four preaching epistles were written at the same time and carried by the same messengers. This is confirmed in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21, Colossians 4, 7 to 9, and Philemon 10, 12. From all this, we conclude that the book of Ephesians was written while Paul was a prisoner at Rome. That is the first time he went to prison at Rome. Not earlier than AD 60, nor later than AD 64. Praise the Lord. Now, the recipients of the book. Who are the receivers? To whom was it originally written? We know that from chapter 1, verse 1, which says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So it was written to the church at Ephesus. He also had in view all the faithful in Christ Jesus, like you saw in the passage read. That is all, that is, all believers everywhere. Go to the book of Galatians chapter 3. Verse 9. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We are talking about the blessed people, the believers in Christ Jesus in every nation. According to Dave's Bible, they were at Ephesus. And you remember when I was reading the quotation from Ungar's Bible Dictionary, the same thing was mentioned. This is the view of many Bible students, Bible scholars. So, and including Dave's Bible, the claim is that the words at Ephesus in chapter 1, verse 1. Let's go there. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. What we are emphasizing or talking about now is the words, the two words. Call them. Was I just talking? At Ephesus, can you say that? Go back and try to locate where you see that. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, the two words at Ephesus, according to this Bible, Ungar's Dictionary, Alice Bible Handbook, and even Matthew Henry dictionary commentary, is not in the original manuscript. It's not in the earlier manuscripts. Get me right. I made a mistake and I've corrected it. I'm not talking of the original manuscript now. I'm talking about the earlier copies. The two words at Ephesus is not in them. So if you read from those books, what you simply see is Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints, which are, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, what is that? What is that telling us? That is showing us that it may be that they were omitted, so that the names of various churches that were to be co-recipients with the, you see Ephesus in your book, co-recipients, after that you see Ephesus, but not Ephesus, it should be, it's supposed to be with the Ephesians. I repeat, it may be they were omitted so that the names of various churches that were to be co-recipients with the Ephesians could be filled in. You get that? Do you get what we are explaining? What we are explaining is that the book in our Bibles is addressed to the Ephesian church, firstly, then believers everywhere. But we are saying that in the earlier manuscripts, the words at Ephesus is not there, or are not there rather. And Bible scholars believe that it may be that these words were omitted, so that the names of other churches that are supposed to be co-recipients with the Ephesians could be written there. Do you get that now? So that when it's going to be sent to the Laodiceans, write Laodicea. When it's going to be sent to other churches, write the name of other churches. And they also believe that this may explain mention of the letter to the Laodiceans, which is not in the Bible. Go to the Colossians, the book of Colossians chapter 4, and look at verse 16 quickly. Which says, And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Now, that passage talk about epistle from... Do you have any epistle in your Bible titled Laodiceans? Huh? No. Some people believe that this is a lost book of the Bible. If you read 1 Corinthians, for example, you hear Paul the Apostle talking about the previous letter he wrote to them. Which is supposed to be the 1 Corinthians, then the 1 Corinthians should be the 2 Corinthians, while the 2 Corinthians should be the 3 Corinthians. But it's nowhere to be found. What happened to it? Nobody knows. Was it the same book? Maybe it's one of the books we are already having that was having that title originally. We don't know. So many students of the Bible believe that it may be that this, in fact, this Ephesian letter to the Ephesians is a circular letter written not to one church, but to many churches, but to Ephesus first, or the Ephesians first. So the letter have to go to some other churches. For example, when you read the epistle to the Galatians, when Ephesus was a city, but Galatia was not a city, it was a province, like you say, Ekiti, like you say, what again? Ijebus, or Egba. Galatia wasn't a city, but a province. So the letter was not written to just one church, it was written to many churches, the churches of the province of Galatia. But Ephesus was a city. Nevertheless, there is enough evidence to prove that the letter was intended to be read in other churches also. Is that creating you unnecessary problem or confusion? I don't think so. I don't think it should be so, rather. So, many people believe that the letter to the Laodiceans mentioned in that Colossians chapter 4, verse 16, may be the same epistle to the Ephesians that was expected to reach the hands of the Laodiceans also. And therefore, Paul was writing the Colossians to interchange the epistles with the Laodiceans, to get the one in the hands of the Laodiceans and give the Laodiceans their own, so that the Laodiceans could read that of the Colossians and the Colossians could read that of the Laodiceans. Maybe after the church at Ephesus must have read it. Praise the Lord. Now, what we are explaining is that it's about the recipients of the book. And we've explained that the book was originally or primarily written to the church of the Ephesians. Now, Ephesus was the chief city of the Roman province of Asia, which comprised the western third of what we now call Asia Minor. As a city, it was exceptionally blessed of God during the opening years of the present dispensation. Paul spent not less than 3 years laboring there, according to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, verse 31. Paul spent, and the record of this ministry is found in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19. After his departure, he sent Timothy to continue the work. Other notable Christian leaders also ministered in Ephesus. Among them are the couple, that is Priscilla and Aquila, and also Apollos, who was rich in works. That man was really, really eloquent. He knows how to talk. And he doesn't talk jargons. He talks the gospel. But initially, he didn't know more than the baptism of John. So one day as he came to Ephesus, he began to bombard the people with the preaching about the baptism of John. John says, prepare you the way of the Lord. Repent. Bring forth fruit, men, for repentance. Priscilla and Aquila called the man, said, come on here. You want to preach the gospel, isn't it? You've not mentioned Jesus since. Jesus? I don't know Jesus, I only know John. Ah, you need to preach. John came preaching about Jesus. The Lord that John talked about was Jesus. Teach me, sir. Sat down, Aquila and Priscilla, husband and wife. He taught this minister of God.
And he got every other thing he needed to know. Came out and began to fire. For who? For Jesus. So, the Ephesian church was greatly blessed through the ministries of Paul, of Priscilla and Aquila, of Apollos, and also of the later bishop, Bishop Timothy. So the first and second Timothy also related to Ephesian church because it was written to Timothy when he was at Ephesus. The present epistle, as well as Paul's parting message to the elders of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20 verses 17 to 38, makes it clear that the word of God fell indeed on fertile soil at Ephesus, producing much fruit. Let's go to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. We just read quickly from verse 17. Reading Paul's parting message to the elders of the church of Ephesus. Now, I start reading from verse 17. And from my letters, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in way of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shewed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 25. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all, take note of all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified, are coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. 34. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I've shewed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Verse 36. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore, fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompany him unto the ship. Now, if you look at the statement of this passage, you will see that there was a real church of God at Ephesus. You remember how the church started? During his second missionary journey, he branched at Ephesus, and he was there briefly. That time he met Priscilla and Aquila, then he left. Later, he came back and he stayed there for 3 years, ministering the word of God. Now, when he came back, He saw 12 disciples who knew nothing but the preaching and baptism of John the Baptist. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? They said, is there anything called Holy Ghost? We don't know whether there's any Holy Ghost. Ah. Into which baptism were you baptized? And they said, John's baptism. Ah, John came preaching about Jesus. Then he preached to them about Jesus. They received Jesus. 12 of them were baptized by immersion. When they came back from the place, he laid his hand upon them that they could receive the baptism with the Holy Ghost. 12 of them were baptized. They began to speak in tongues, prophesy, and glorify God. Then he led them to the Jewish synagogue that was in the city. And there he began to preach the true word of God to the Jews and the Gentiles alike for a space of around 3 months. But when it was around 3 months, the elders of the synagogue rose up and began to blaspheme. They began to say evil things against what Paul was preaching. Then Paul realized that he was planting on an unfruitful ground. He knew that the work he was doing was like a tailor, sewing the cloth and having somebody behind that is tearing the one already sewn. So he decided to pull out. Pulling out, he brought the disciples who had given their lives to Jesus, he brought them out of the synagogue. And they went to a classroom in a school called the School of Tyrannus. And it was there he started ministry. In fact, he spent 2 years in that classroom. Where he spent the last 1 year, we are not told. Now, from the classroom, he began to preach the gospel. And the Bible says the work grew mightily to the extent that within the space of 2 years, the whole of Asia Minor had the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And many wonderful miracles were performed by Paul during this period. To the extent that his apron was being taken to other cities, other villages, to cause healing and miracles. If you read, for example, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, verse 19, you will see how the evildoers of Ephesus, the magicians, the juju people of Ephesus, they brought all their books together. They counted and knew how much it cost. And then they burnt them in the presence of all men. From here we saw that Paul the Apostle did a very, very good job, a very fruitful job at Ephesus within these 3 years. Priscilla, Aquila also doing one thing or the other for the Lord. Apollos also doing something for the Lord. And when Paul left, he sent Timothy to go and lead the elders in leading the people of God to do the will and the work of God at Ephesus. Tradition indicates that the Apostle John also made it the center of his labors during the last years of his life. You remember that the letter he was asked to write by the Lord to the 7 churches in Asia, the first church to be addressed was the church of the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus. Now, the purposes of Ephesians. Praise the Lord. Why was the book written? Paul desires to strengthen these believers in their Christian faith. Then he wrote them to strengthen them. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. And look at verses 16 to 19. That he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That was the mind of Paul. And because of that, he decided to write them. And the Holy Ghost mightily used him in unfolding the mysteries of the kingdom of God to the people of Ephesus, the believers at Ephesus. So he desired them to be strengthened by the Lord, not only in the outer man, but also in the inner man. And brethren, as we study from this book this time, we are going to receive the strength of the Lord. We are going to be strengthened by the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. We are going to be energized. The Lord is going to quicken us. I tell you, we are going to be set ablaze, and we shall do the will of God in the name of Jesus Christ. We are going to be equipped with the power of the Lord to the extent that we shall be strong in the Lord, and we'll be able to pull down the strongholds of the devil through the enablement we shall receive from the Lord as we study this time in the name of Jesus Christ. We are going to put on the whole armor of God and the grace to pray, not only with our understanding, but also in the spirit, and cause miraculous and wonderful things to be wrought will be bestowed upon us in the name of Jesus Christ. And I seize this opportunity to advise you, be sure you do not miss any of the study. Don't miss it at all. The devil would like you to miss it. Don't forget it is in that book, Paul the Apostle wrote, we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities and power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness. You don't have a verse like that in any other passage of the Bible. Against the spiritual wickedness in high places. And it tells us that we can overcome, because we can put on the whole armor of God. It tells us that we have that sword. It is not the sword of the flesh, the sword of the spirit. And with that sword in our hands, with the helmet of salvation, with the shield of faith, we shall fight and we shall overcome. We are going to fight and overcome in the name of Jesus. And how to do that, we are going to understand as we continue in these studies in the name of Jesus Christ. Now we are looking at the purposes of the book. He wrote because he desired to strengthen the believers in their faith in Christ Jesus. Now, two, he wishes to encourage them to turn away from the things of the old life and to put on the new man. Really, he was telling the Ephesians that they were special people in the sight of the Lord. Not just the Ephesians, but all believers in Christ. He was showing them in a very clear way that God has blessed them with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And therefore, they were no longer ordinary men. They were no longer ordinary people. They were peculiar people. They were special people unto the Lord. And therefore, everything that is of the old life should be totally forgotten. In fact, he went to the extent of saying that some sins should not be mentioned among them. They shouldn't be talking anything that will indicate that such a thing is still taking place in their midst. So he wanted them to be totally separated from their old life. Go to chapter 4 and read just from verse 17. You will understand what I'm saying. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. You will not forget that at Ephesus we have one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. The image of Diana. Diana of Ephesus. It was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. We have the rest of them as the Hanging Garden of Babylon and so on and so forth. So, that place was a real idolatrous city. And a lot of idolaters were there. In fact, at a time, the idolaters of the city, the goldsmiths, they make a great uproar, thinking that they would through that be able to destroy the works of Paul and kill him, if possible. But they were unsuccessful. Praise the Lord. So he wrote the Ephesians, you have all these idolaters, you have all these sinners all around you, but you need to have in mind that you are peculiar people. You can't talk like they talk, you can't think like they think, you can't walk like they walk, you can't look like they look, you can't dress like they dress, you can't eat like they eat. You can't transact your businesses like they transact their businesses. You must live a peculiar type of life. That was what he was trying to tell them through the letter. He wasn't using the letter to make any correction in terms of maybe argument, disagreement, or problems in the church. No problem at all. He was only building them up in their most holy faith. So, in verse 18, he says, having the understanding, that is talking about the Gentiles, he says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to walk all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. He so be that ye have had him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful Lord, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So, he wrote the letter to let them see the importance of separating completely from their old life and begin to live truly the new life they've received in Christ Jesus. If you go to verse 31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Praise the Lord. He writes to show them the unity of both Jews and Gentiles in the body of Christ. Go to chapter 2. And just read from verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one man, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. If you look at verse 19. Now therefore, I love to hear that. Praise the Lord. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So he wrote to let them understand the fact that in Christ, believers are one. We are how many? Everybody say it. I don't care what race you belong to, but as far as in Jesus you stand, if by grace through faith you have been saved, you are my brother or you are my sister. May God bless you. That is our song, and that is the truth. So it was emphasizing the fact that the believers in Christ were one. And today we're supposed to be how many, brethren? The believers in Christ today are supposed to be one. It doesn't matter what the name of our churches are. It doesn't matter what our color, our tribe, our race, our languages are. We're supposed to be how many? One. And what is that telling us, brethren? When a believer in Lagos sees a believer in Lokoja, how many should they be? One. But the problem in the world today is preventing that. And it's such a terrible problem, contrary to the will of God taking place. You know what? The will of God is that a believer from here should be going to where? Tanzania. And not having a place to reside, should have in mind that I have my brethren all over town. Huh? If I'm able to land there, I just look for the believers and I will be alright. That was what was practiced in the Bible days. And they were practicing it successfully. But today we find that difficult to practice. Go from Lagos to Ibadan, not to Tanzania this time, and look for the brethren and say, I'm a believer. The name of our church, Abu Bakr, Lagos. He died of God. He doesn't look at you. Maybe not that arm robber be that. The Bible you put in your pocket, it may mistake for a peace. Maybe not peace today in pocket, so you can say born again. All of them, they born again, and then they born again. What do you can say you define now, sir? Where I will sleep, to say before I will finish what I come for in this time, before I go back to live, where you will sleep. I just feel that after the Bible study, you know, one of these people will sleep. Don't wait for the Bible study. Go get there now and look for where you go do what. You go sleep. But we don't get where you go sleep here. Their rooms are empty. Their beds are vacant. But to accommodate believers becomes the... No wonder the Bible says in the later time, perilous times shall do what? It has come already. Can we blame believers who are being careful and are watchful? We can't blame them, but that is not the will of God. We don't know what to do about that. Because we're supposed to be how many?
Let me tell you what I'm talking about. I'm not saying everybody who comes to this church should be one. There are people coming to this church with whom you should not be one. We have that instruction in the Bible that if anyone that is called a believer is a fornicator, is a liar, or idolater, a confessious man, an evildoer, you should not go in to eat with him. So you and him are not what? One. It's not the people attending the same church with you we are talking about now, but somebody who has been washed with the blood of Jesus Christ, just as you have been washed with the same blood. It's supposed to be. That is the will of God. But a lot of people are saying different things today, and because of that, we can't be one. That's the problem. But the Bible says we should all speak, say what? How many things? One thing. Not that somebody will raise up and say, the Bible says we should be watchful. That he that thinketh his standard should take heed, lest he do what? Lest he fall. And the other one will say, brethren, whether we take heed or not, we are bound to enter heaven. Once you are a son, you are always a son of God, eternal security. Somebody will say, what about Judas? Shut up your mouth. Say, you be Judas. What do we do about this? But the will of God for us is to be how many? One. In heaven, nobody will know the name of your church. No. The names of churches ends here. We only give names so that we will identify this where this people fellowship. But in God's record, no name. All we have is Jesus Church, Christ Church. That's what we have. But if we say, since we're supposed to be one, we can then be careless and just allow anything. One day we may look our Bible and not see it again. Because somebody may steal the Bible to go and sell and make more. It happened here before. Somebody came here and pretended like a believer. That was the time we were still facing that side. That's somewhere here. And while the program was going on, it was during the miracle hour or miracle Sunday, one of the miracle programs. So, as prayer was going on, he took his letter. The letter, the prayer request of everybody was being given to the usher to submit. He brought his letter. An usher wanted to take the letter from him. He didn't give it to the usher. He brought it to me directly on the pulpit to be sure that the letter get to the target. The letter got to my hand quite all right. I opened the letter. Do you know what I saw in the letter? You said it, that I will get a job between so-and-so and so-and-so. I forgot it. Between so-and-so and so-and-so, I will surely get a job. Your prophecy have come true. I've got the job. It sounds wonder, but I knew I never made such a promise. I never gave such a prophecy. So I knew something else was being said, which I didn't say. I was surprised. Then he said, the only problem is this. I've got a job at the office of the Directorate of Employment at Marina. And I need, just a small money, 35 naira, so that I can transport myself to Marina to and fro till the end of the month. At the end of the month, I will come and pay you. I knew maybe the man was targeting, these people would be able to get up to 35 naira in their offering of this evening. Let me collect that and go. It was a big completed. I said it was a big what? You are still doubting. A big thing. Let me tell you the conclusion. They didn't allow him to. I read the letter. I knew that he came for something different from our purpose. So I told the ushers that he should be the last person to see me, so that I will answer the people that are having their new cases. So he sat here. He sat and sat and sat and sat and sat. I was answering other people. When he saw that it was taking too late before they were allowing to see me, he looked around, he saw a new Bible. Somebody had just bought the Bible for Abuja pastor. He helped Abuja pastor bought the Bible so that when Abuja collect the Bible, he placed the Bible somewhere. I can't remember, somewhere around there. In the presence of some of the ushers that were around, the man rose up, came and took the Bible. They saw him taking the Bible. They thought he wanted to check something in the Bible. But by the time we were closing, the man and the Bible was nowhere to be found. That was how we paid for our negligence and carelessness. Because we didn't take care of him in time, he decided to punish us by going away with the Bible. Now, when you see somebody else tomorrow, and he comes in the same way, you want to look very well before you know what to do. What to do? Look, I went to the house of a pastor in Ikolekiti some years ago. While I was there, somebody came, or maybe I met them there, I can't remember exactly. We were in the room of the pastor. This fellow claimed to be a brother living in another part of the nation, but traveled to Benin City for what? I can't remember. And as he was going back to the north, the armed robbers robbed them at Okene, took all their belongings, their money, beat them to hell and everything. He was able to escape. And he was looking for somebody to assist him. He couldn't get one from Okene until he trekked to Ikolekiti in Ondo State. The brother who brought him had lodged the man. The man slept in the brother's house that night. He came in the night. He saw the brother. He explained himself. He claimed to be a member of the same church where that brother belonged in the north. So the brother said, "This is my brother." I said, "Let's go home." So he slept in the brother's home, ate in the morning, bath, and just just make himself all right. So in the morning, the brother brought him to the pastor to explain the situation so that the church could help. I happened to be there in the house of their pastor. As the story was being told, I suspected a foul play. And I said, "You are robbed where? At the cleaning. And your church is such a popular church that you have your branch almost in every city, every town and villages along the road from Okene to Ikoli. You couldn't branch in any of them to seek help until you trek to Ikoli." While we are still finding out the facts, somebody happened to be in that place, a youth copper, who came to serve in Ondo State from the north. He happened to come from the same city in the north this man claimed to come from, and he happened to be a member of the same church this man claimed to belong to. So they asked him some questions about the church and the rest of them. He said, "In fact, I was in the Air Force base." That was how he detected that he was a duper. Look, when we were at Okera, we were holding a miracle program, was it? A man sat in the front. Everything I say, he would laugh. After the program, he came inside the room to see me. He said, "Pastor, I'm not quoting him verbatim. I don't want to deceive you. I am an armed robber." He began to tell me stories. He said, "Yesterday we wanted to rob. There was a problem. I escaped. And now I'm tired of this life. I want to go back to my father somewhere. I just need some money. Give me some money to transport myself. Finish. If it's to deceive you, I know what I will tell you. We have identity cards we've made that we use to deceive pastors. I'm robber. He was a real arm robber. He was not joking. As I was talking, look at my Bible. See, this same Bible. You can't see any writing on the body of the Bible any longer. I place it on the table. He simply touched my Bible. He said, like this same reference now. You know what that means? Somebody who just touched your Bible and said, like this same reference. He wasn't using magic. Not juju. He knew that Bible very well. He said that is how they go to pastors' places and steal their Bibles. After stealing the Bible, they will still go and sell it to other pastors. I'm robber. So because of that, when we talk of the oneness of believers, there is this scale. There is this problem. And that makes us suspicious of everyone that needs our assistance. I want to advise us tonight that we should not be unnecessarily suspicious of them. Some may be saying the truth. Apart from the fact that we can fall into the same type of problem they are currently falling into, the Lord says we are one. And that may make us decide to even if we are not sure, to throw away some money. This is what I mean by throwing away. You are not sure it's a thief. You are not sure it's a believer. The way it also seems to be a believer, maybe you are also thinking of some loophole. You are not too sure that it's an unbeliever. Who could be there? Maybe it happens to be an unbeliever, a thief. He has not robbed you of anything than that money. You may not want to jeopardize your life and the life of your family by lodging such a person, but at least you can offer some assistance. And in some cases, the person may talk very simply, without much explanation, without anything. Just so that you need help. It's not even like the type of people that you need. Something within you may be telling you that you believe. Something within you may be telling you that person is a creep. Don't hesitate to offer whatever assistance God is giving you the grace to offer. Let me tell you, you are more joined. Let me use that language. To a believer who is a member of whatever church somewhere else than to a person, a man, not a believer, who comes to this church and sleep here all the time. I don't know whether you get what I'm talking about now. This is not a matter of, oh, it's a Bible pattern. It's one of us. Praise God. It's my brother. Not everyone coming here is my brother. Some of them are not my brother. Some of them are not my sister. If you are not born again, we are no friends. I have no business here playing with goats. I'm not a shepherd of goats. I'm a shepherd of sheep. I've never seen the Lord appointing shepherds for goats. Goats are to be converted to become what? Sheep. When they become sheep, the shepherd will shepherd them. If they refuse to become sheep, let them go back to the wolf who will kill them and eat them.
The message you're listening to is coming to you from Bible Betting Church. You can get this message and thousands of others on various topics on cassettes, audio CDs, and DVDs from Bible Pattern Church Headquarters, end of Adewale Adegun Avenue, Karale Estate by Estate Bus Stop, off College Road, Ifako Ijaye, Lagos State, or other branches nationwide, or you visit our website www.biblepatternchurch.org. Happy listening.
So what I'm telling you is, you don't wait until you see somebody from this church before you help a believer. You need to settle in your heart tonight. This is the truth. This is not the only true church in Lagos. Talk less of being the only true church in the world. There are some other true churches. We may not be able to identify them, but the Lord knows them. They are there. It's very true that majority of the churches of today are synagogues of Satan. That is a clear truth. Nevertheless, there are some other churches that are churches of who? Of Jesus. Denominational pride will only prevent us of having reward in heaven. Anybody that is not a member of our church, can be good. How do you call that name? So you'll be Christian now. You don't born again. That's what they call grace of God. Pastor, don't talk and say, hallelujah is sweeter in our mouth than in the mouth of the Christian. Oh, are you sure it's not Christian? So Paul the apostle wrote the Ephesians and made it abundantly clear to them that though there were some Jews that were only Judaizers and proselyte makers who doesn't know Christ but go about calling the name of Christ, who claim to be Jews when they are synagogues of Satan. Nevertheless, there are some Jews who are genuinely born again. And therefore, those of you who are of the Gentile churches, you must not prejudice against them. Love them. Love them. You are one in the Lord. We are looking at the purposes of the book of A. Praise the Lord. Not only that, if you go to chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In Christ. Now, chapter 4, verse 1 of the same book. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now, he wrote the book to reveal the glorious position of the believers in Christ as members of body Christ. And what is that telling us, brethren? We are special people. Can you say we are special people? That was what Paul wanted to make clear to the Ephesians. That they should stop living like ordinary men. They were not ordinary. They were special. Huh? When you move from ordinary, you go to extraordinary. Ordinary. Who are special people. So they should live like special people. He told them that God has called them with a glorious calling and has blessed them with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And therefore, they should walk worthy of that calling. And that is the truth we need to tell ourselves today once again. In your place of employment, you need to understand that you are not equal with those people that are working with you there, Jesus. You are not the same. You understand? You work in the same place, but you are not the same. You are spare. Some of them may be your boss, they may be your leader there, they may be your supervisor, your manager, whatever, whatever. But in the sight of God, you are a special person. And being a special person, you are expected to live a special type of life. He wrote Timothy. He said, though you are young, you are small, a young man, but don't let any man despise thy youth. Don't let anybody look at you and through your behavior say, oh, it's childish. Don't let anybody say about your behavior, that is childishness. Behave like an adult. Be an example to those who believe. Let elderly people look at your life and see that it is worthy of emulation. Let them love to copy you. He wrote Titus, the same thing. He said, Titus should behave like a matured person. He should not be listening to all the women fables. The fables of the Jews. You should show uncorruptness. You should show soundness when it comes to presenting the word of God, the word of life. All we are being shown is that since we are special people, we have to live like special people. That means then that the people with whom we live in our compounds, we are not to copy them. We are special, they are ordinary, they are not special. So we can't think like the thing, we can't talk like the talk, we can't appear like they appear, we can't behave like they behave, we can't dress like they dress, we can't transact our businesses like they transact their businesses. We must be different. That was what he told the purpose of the letter to the Ephesians. Praise the Lord. Alice Bible Handbook says, while Paul taught Gentile Christians to stand like a rock for the liberty in Christ, as he did in Galatians and Romans, yet, he did not want them to be prejudiced against their Jewish fellow Christians, but to regard them as brothers in Christ. Paul did not want to see two churches, a Jewish church and a Gentile church, but one church, Jews and Gentiles, one in Christ. His gesture, in behalf of unity to Jewish elements in the church, was the great offering of money, which he took from Gentile churches at the close of his third missionary journey to the poor in the mother church at Jerusalem, according to Acts of the Apostles chapter 21. His hope was that this demonstration of Christian love might bring Jewish Christians to feel more kindly toward Gentiles. Paul's gesture in behalf of unity to Gentile elements in the church was this epistle, written to the leading center of his own Gentile conference, exalting the oneness, universality, and unspeakable grandeur of the body of Christ. Now the theme of Ephesians. The heavenly position of the believer as a member of the body of Christ, and the daily life which corresponds to this position. That was the truth. All he was explaining was that believers were special people. And they must walk worthy of their vocation. They must walk worthy of their calling. They must live a life that agrees with the exalted position the Lord has placed them in Christ Jesus. Now, this Bible says, Romans, the first doctrinal letter, sets forth the true relation of the believer to Christ in death, burial, and resurrection. Ephesians, the second doctrinal letter, pictures the believer as sitting together with Christ in heavenly places. It contains the highest of church truths, but not necessarily church order. Now, the book of Ephesians contains the highest of church truths. In it, mysteries of the kingdom of God is unfolded, but not the highest of church order. Take for example the book of Corinthians. You can call it Pastor's Manual, or you can call Ephesians Pastor's Manual. The book of Ephesians reveals a lot of things about the kingdom of God, especially about the position of believers in Christ Jesus. It says we are made to sit with Christ in heavenly places, far above all names, all authorities, and all powers. But when you come to the book of Corinthians, it talks about do's and don'ts in the church. When we still have the pastoral epistles, the book of Timothy, the two epistles of Timothy, that of Philemon, and also that of Titus. But in the book of Corinthians, he made a lot of corrections that are useful to the church today, because there were a lot of problems in the Corinthian church. Sometimes some of them will say, I am of Paul. Another one will say, I am of Apollo. Another one will say, I am of Cephas. Dividing the apostles. Wanting to create the apostles' problem. Paul wrote them and said, is it Cephas or Apollo that saves you? Is it not Jesus? Are you dividing yourselves among the apostles? Apostles are nothing. Jesus is all in all. He wrote them, he told them, you are babes in Christ, and therefore the spiritual truth of the kingdom, the important things of the kingdom, I can't reveal to you. I can only fill you with milk and not with solid. It was in the Corinthian church people who come for Holy Communion. Before the rest people will come, latecomers will have nothing to eat. Because the Corinthians will rush there and finish the whole food meant for Holy Communion. And mind you, when it was instituted, it was after they have eaten the supper that Jesus took bread. It was to symbolize something, to represent something. Not real food to fill the stomach, but the Corinthians would feed their stomach with the portions of other people. So some will eat and overfed themselves. The rest will come and say, where is our? Say, why will I not come in time? And Paul wrote them and said, greedy people, if you want to eat, eat at all. At home before coming. And don't bring blemish on the table of the Lord. That is why some of you are dying and you don't know that it is your unworthiness that is killing you. So he made a series of corrections. Talked to them and said, about the letter you wrote to me, some of them wrote letter and asked about the relationship between men and women. About what you wrote is good for men not to touch women. But the point is this, because of the sake of fornication, any of you that want to marry, let him have his own wife, let women have their own husband, and keep away from fornication. Then he moved forward and said, widows, if you can remain as I am, it will be very good for you. But in case you want to marry, marry in the Lord and be alright. And you that ask wife, don't throw away your wife. If you are having an husband, don't run away from your husband. If you have run away and you need an husband, go back to your husband. You see, that's a real pastor's manual. It says, pastors a lot. Somebody took his father's wife at Corinth. Wrote a letter and said, you people, you are fellowshipping with a man who snatched his father's wife. And you are not ashamed. When next you gather together, discipline that man. My spirit will be with you. Gave a lot of instruction, but you don't have things like that in Ephesus. The book doesn't have corrections. It was so plain and straightforward. The church of the Ephesians was a great church. The city was a great city, one of the principal cities of Asia Minor. It was a great city, in fact, the greatest of all the cities of Asia Minor. Very great indeed. And the church there had been greatly blessed of the Lord, having the greatest of all apostles ministering there for 3 years. And now, the church started in a very wonderful way. It's a pity the book of Revelation, they left their first Lord. It's a pity. It's a pity. And today we are not having a pity. Oh, praise the Lord. So, we go to the key verses of the book. We've read them several times. We read them again. That is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And chapter 4, verse 1, which says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherein, wherewith ye are called. Now, the key words of the book. When you want to get the key word of a book, or words of a book, what you simply do is to count the words that are common in the book. And know which one appear more than the rest. That is the main keywords. And the next one will be supporter to that. Now, the key word in the book of Ephesians is in. What, everybody? In. It appears 93 times. Though, 89 times in Greek. It appears 89 times in Greek, but 93 times in English. It's a very important word. It shows the real secret of the spiritual life of believers. It says, we are in what? We are in Christ. And in heavenly places. The second key word of the book is grace, which appears 12 times. And another key word is body. It appears 8 times. It is use of the church as an organism. Then, walk 8 times, which explains the way we should live because of our exalted position in Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, the outline of Ephesians. If you want to teach from the book of Ephesians, this outline may be of great help to you. You can divide the book into 3 parts, A, B, C. A, the position of the believer, that is, in the heavenlies in Christ, verses 1 to 3. You have verse 1 to 2 as salutation. And verse 3 says, the believer's spiritual blessings in Christ. You see that in verses 3 to 14. Now, A, statements regarding the blessing. B, the Father's part in our blessing. C, the Son's part in our blessings. D, the Holy Spirit's part in our blessings. The Father's part is in verses 4 to 6, Son's part 7 to 12, Holy Spirit's part 13 to 14. Then, the third point under division A, the first prayer of the apostle. We have 2 great prayers in the book. The first prayer is written in chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. This prayer is that the believers may have wisdom to know what the Father has made the Lord Jesus Christ to be unto his people. Then, division point number 4 under division A, the past, present, and future of the believer. That is in chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Point 5, both Jews and Gentiles are one in Christ and form a living temple of God. That is in chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. Emphasis is made in the book that we are one. There's only one God, only one Christ, only one church, only one baptism, only one hope given to us in Christ Jesus. Then chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, talk about the revelation of the mystery of the kingdom of God. Chapter 3, verses 13 to 21, talk about the second prayer of the apostle. And the prayer is that the believers may know what God has provided for them in Christ. Now, division 2, that is division B, the work of the believer. That is in chapter 4, chapters 4 to 6. You can see that in chapter 4, verse 1 to chapter 6, verse 9. You read all through to chapter 6, verse 9. Now, in chapter 4, verse 1 to 6, the believer should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. In chapter 4, verses 7 to 16, the believer should use the gifts given him for Christ. It is in that passage we are told that Christ has given as gift to the church. Some as apostles, prophets, teachers, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and so on and so forth. And the believers is not to walk as the Gentiles walk. Believer is not to walk as the Gentiles walk. That's what we have in chapter 4, 17 to 32. The believer is to walk as a dear child, imitating his heavenly father. That is chapter 5, verse 1 to 14. The believer to have a spirit-filled walk. That is what we have in chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. And special instructions for wives, husbands, children, fathers, servants, and masters in chapter 5, verse 22 to chapter 6. The last division, division C, that is the warfare of the believer. We have that in chapter 6, verse 10 to 22. It talks about our power. In verse 6, chapter 6, verse 10, says, be strong in the... Praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah.
Be strong where? That is our power. Is that your power? Jesus is my power, oh yeah. Jesus is my power, oh yeah. Jesus is my power, oh yes. Jesus is my power. What is your power? The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know the problem? Some people are strong in other things. They have other things as their power. There are those who have money as their power. They have money power, naira power. No Jesus, but money. No anointing of the Holy Ghost. No power of the Spirit. But only what? It's once we have money, money answers all. But money doesn't cast out devils. Talk less of leading people to heaven. It says money answers all things. Money will do everything. Money may not do everything, brother. And because of that, no time for any meaningful thing. Every program is designed to gather more talk. Call it Bible study. Call it special program. Call it conversion. Call it retreat. Call it a cruise. Call it a revival program. Call it a confab. Whatever name you give to it. The end of that program, watch it very well. You will soon see the objective is to gather what? Money. If we have money, we'll be able to build houses, buy vehicles, do radio programs, do television programs, do this, do that. Money power. It's good to have money and work for God. But the Bible says be strong in the Lord. There are those who are strong in man. Their strongness is in what? Men. Men. It says men are my clothes. Is man your cloth? The Bible says, cease from man whose life is in his work. Once he breathes the last one, he's no man. You rely on that. And the Bible says, the heart of that man you want to rely upon is extremely wicked, is deceitful above all things. So those who rely on money, on men, and having that as their power, everything that is in their power, they will do to gather people. It's good to gather people for the Lord. For what shall he profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? They will gather people. And anything that can drive anyone away from the church will never come out of their mouth. A preacher who will not preach things that will drive away people will not lead anyone to heaven. Because sometimes Jesus will preach, all of the people will run away. They will run. But today, preachers don't want to, don't drive away my people. I invite you to come and minister to people. You are only to edify. Who asked you to talk about hell? Now hell will come gather them to go. But we see Jesus talking about hell. Because he didn't want people to do what? You are simply preparing people for hell when you gather people together in the name of Jesus and you refuse to talk to them about hell. So they gather the people. Say, yes, we need men. Once we have men, it's all right. You can't impress God with goats you are gathering. You're only gathering children of the devil, and you're not turning them to become children of God. Be strong in the Lord and not in men. There are those who are strong in juju. What, everybody? They ask it under the people. and it's not going to be for me. Artificial call. There has not been something yet. Say, praise God, everybody! Immediately you hear that, praise God, if you are not believer, what happens to your heart? Say, the Lord said, bring money, bring money! Oh yeah, get up now. You take that light. Begin to dance towards this place. You take that light. Begin to dance towards this place. Oh yeah, altar, carry the plate. Collect it from there. Give God money! Bam! That juju. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness. In where? You must be higher than them to overcome them. Not prayer. Be strong. That's what we have in that book. It talks about our armor. You don't just go out in the armor of the flesh and say you will fight. You won't get anything meaningful. Paul told other people, the Corinthians, mind you, you lash one another with your tongue. You kill one another. You go to the extent of suing one another before unrighteous judges. Mind you, but we, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to us, the pulling down, hallelujah, of the strongholds of the devil. But go to churches today, you will see elders bearing grudge against one another. Using kind of where this money, the money in this church, where they come, they shop alone. We don't know, remember, say we plenty where we day here. And Bible say, person where they walk by the altar, now ain't go to shop the thing where they altar. When you shop the altar, which one God go come take? Only. See how they come, they do this thing. Then pastor said, we are going to hold our crusade. Elder this we preach. Elder Babaita we preach. Then he says, Elder Babaita is preaching today. Elder Grudge Biara, can you come to interpret? Say me. Pastor, please come to Bami. You know the waiting day between me and him. Because the man I come to interpret. When he says something now, I can't say nobody korokoro I go come they tell me, find somebody else. So. Or church. The church of Satan. That will not happen here. Yeah. And in case it begins to happen, look at this place. I'm not the pastor here. Somebody else must be pastoring them. Put on the old armor of you. You have the element of salvation. What is covering your head, brother? Huh? Not the cap of pride. Says, I'm a child of God. Everybody say, pastor is a child of God. Pride. You ask him, are you free 100% from lies? Only one sin. No. He says, Shebi Bible say, if we confess our sins, God will they forgive us. If we not get sin, wait till we go to confess. Mr. Confess, Professor. Professor, confessor, confessor, confeya. Confess wahala. Put on the helmet of salvation. Not that Sunday school teacher will not be saved. I will be teaching you here in the class. If you are going to fight these forces of darkness, you have your helmet on. So when they knock you see from before or from behind on the earth, the helmet will simply tell them, I am here. No headache, no problem. You have the shield of faith. Anything, call it artillery, call it bullet, call it stone, call it wood, call it cutlass, anything. The shield is always there to do what? To give her protection. And you are having your offensive weapon. And mind you, that's the only offensive weapon. You don't have to. How many? One. The word of God. It's the sword of the spirit. When it proceeds out of your mouth, it is a word. In your mouth, it is a sword in the hand of the spirit. When you say that word, the Holy Ghost will take it as a sword and begin to cut the enemies to pieces. The Bible says it is sharper than. But look at churches today, they will take, in fact, they turn their betting to artillery to fight. One day somebody was given an announcement. Some people are prepared what they will do. Immediately the person began the announcement. The money they do this, I don't know exactly what he said. The money they spend on this. The people rose up from that corner and they began to say, tip, all of Nana, tip. Ah! Weapons, the carnal weapon. Praise the Lord. So it's also talking about foes. About our foes. Who are our foes, brethren? Huh? Not only Satan. Devils. We have only one devil. It's a pity. King James says devils, and we've been using it that way. But there's only one devil. We have many demons. The devil himself and all his hosts, they are our enemies. Do you understand? Who are our enemies? Devil, the devil, and their demons. Not the mama landlady there. Huh? Christian. Anytime he prays, he must mention wish. Wishes are taking almost the same position with Jesus in their mouth. Every time, wish. All the wish here. All the wizard, Jesus. Wish, wizard, Jesus. Which one do we believe? You are not fighting with those women, with those men. You are fighting with powers that are beyond them. Hallelujah. Then it talks about our resources. The Bible says we should pray. When we pray, we get things what? We get things done. And lastly, the benediction we should have in chapter 6, verses 23 to 24. Now, quickly, we look at some lessons, selected lessons from the book. We have so many lessons. The book contains a lot of valuable lessons for us. It sets before us the words, the work, and the warfare of Christians. And surely, we shall learn a lot as we shall be studying from the book week after week. But for now, let's just look at one or two lessons from each of the 6 chapters of the book. One, God does not call us in vain, but for our purpose. That's what we have in chapter 1. You are not calling what? Amen. 2, believers are not lowly placed, maybe in the valley, but are seated together in heavenly places far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Can't you say thank you, Jesus, for that? You are placed where? You are seated where? Tell me where? Heavenly place is far above. That means all the witches and wizards and memory and Ozanji and whatever name you call them, they are where? They are down in the valley. Under your what? If any of them is going beyond this boundary, you simply throw one stone from there and scatter in here. Simple. It's not for believers to be fearing. We are placed in the heavenly places. Mind you, we have spiritual wickedness in where too? High places, but we are in a high, hallelujah. We are in a higher. That is why the Bible says far above principle, above all, above every name that is named, under witches and wizards are named where? Under heaven, not in heaven. I thank God that I'm a Christian. We also see from that book, the salvation of God is not received by work, but by faith. He says he are saved by faith. Ministers are placed in the church not to just do what they like, but to assist believers in pressing towards perfection, in doing the works of the ministry, according to Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11. As believers, we are not to just fold our hands and expect the old man to just go away by himself. Rather, we are to put off the old man along with his deeds. Now, 6, the life of a believer is expected to be totally different from that of other men. Be that believer a wife, an husband, a child, a servant, or a master. Whatever is his condition, whatever is his position, our lives are expected to be different. And the world is not a playing ground. We'll talk about that. That's what the book is telling us. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Every believer is expected to be praying without supplications, with seriousness, exercising himself continuously. Brethren, as we study this very important book of the Bible, our lives will not remain the same in the name of Jesus. But shall we just rise up and say, Lord, I thank you for making me a child of God, for drawing me into this marvelous kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you that I am one of the people
that we may call the people of God in the world today. I worship you, Almighty God. Just open your mouth wide and bless the name of the Lord.
We trust you have been blessed through the message you just listened to. To enjoy more faith-lifting messages that will prepare you for today and eternity of blessedness, visit Bible Pattern Church Headquarters, end of Adewale Adegun Avenue, Karawale Estate, by Estate Bus Stop, off College Road, Ifako Ijayi, Lagos State, or other branches nationwide. Or visit our website, www.biblepatternchurch.org. Contact us today for any godly counsel you need. Feel free to send your prayer requests to us and share your testimonies with us. You can also send your questions to us at BiblePattern1983@yahoo.com or BiblePattern1983@gmail.com. Bible Pattern Church is a living church where you can learn the way of God, know the mind of God, and do the will of God that will lead you to your home above. Bible Pattern Church, the only Bible, is a pattern in all things.